Hello and thank you for listening to Shofar Armona's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message and that it will inspire you in your walk with God.
We are still learning from Jesus, His example and His teaching. And He's teaching about the kingdom of God, going through the parables. And in the context of preparing us for this term, this outward focus, where we're taking the kingdom of God and the church outside of church, where we're going into the world with the kingdom, with the church. What we have here to go out for one term, for 2 months, it's literally it's like 10 weeks. We're really putting out our hearts and our faith together that in this next 10 weeks that we as a church will start to get out of our comfort zone, out of our trenches, out of our safe places within church and take the gospel and take our prayer and take our expectation and our faith towards the lost and to really trust God that people will get saved and those who are hurt and offended and disillusioned and have scattered all over, that they will come back to God's house, back to His kingdom. And it's not just about this church. If you meet and you connect with somebody, you know they'll connect and fit in better with United or the Dutch Reformed Church, then take them there. We want to trust God for a harvest, for the kingdom to grow. For the kingdom to grow. So it's in this context that we're looking at another parable of Jesus in Luke chapter 15. We read there, then all the tax collectors and the sinners draw near to Him to hear Him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complain, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So He spoke the parable to them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one, does not light the lamp, sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice for me, for I have found the piece which was lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. He who has ears to hear, let them hear. Interesting, the sinners came to Jesus to hear from Him. Father, we thank You that this morning, as righteous ones that needs no repentance, who are with You, the 99, God, as You speak to us, let us hear. And let us not be hearers only, but doers of Your word. Let Your word change us, that we may become more like You, so that You may receive the glory in this world. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was preparing this parable, I was thinking it will go one way, and the Lord led me to another. I love preparing sermons. It always changes as I go. But I'm going to start off from the beginning. We know this parable so well, and I'm sure you've heard many sermons. But what's so interesting, when God created the universe, He created everything perfect. And then He declared that it was good. And then God decided that He's going to make something different, something unique, and He decided He's going to create man. Going to create the male and female in the likeness and the image of God. And then He declared, this is very good. This is very good. As He created something uniquely different in His likeness and His image, something that is different to instinct and different to just splendor, but something that is like Him, something that is comparable, something that relates to, something that He can relate to and can respond back to Him. And God created man holy, He created man pure, He created man perfect, without anything that distracts, but in His likeness and His image. And He placed them in a perfect environment, and God had a close relationship with man. God gave him dominion, ownership over everything that He has created, and He blessed man. And He blessed man and He said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. Take this image and likeness and procreate. Multiply this image and likeness and fill the earth. It's God's blessing and God's purpose for humanity to take that what He has endowed in us and multiply it. In Genesis 1, verse 27, so God created man in His own image, in the image of God. He created him, male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over everything. Genesis 2, we read, and when God brought Eve to Adam, He said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And she will be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. You know, God made us male and female, different, yet together we reflect the image and likeness of God. And so God brought what was different together into one. And with that came the purpose of bringing them together. We're speaking more of us multiplying that likeness and image than He was speaking about children, of just numerically duplicating ourselves. He was not so much speaking about the fact that we must grow in numbers as much as He was speaking about, I want you to multiply this image and likeness, which is so good. I want you to multiply it and fill the earth with it. This godliness, this image and likeness, this relationship that we have, I want it to spread all over the world. Malachi 2 verse 15 says, did He not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? And what was the one God seeking? He was seeking godly offspring. He was seeking that this image and this likeness, this relationship would multiply. Fill the earth. So God's purpose was a godly offspring. And He gave man free will. But man chose not to follow God's truth, but to follow Satan's lie. And sin entered man through disobedience. And sin corrupted man's image and likeness. And we became like the one we followed. We became like the devil. We became selfish, self-centered, full of pride. And man multiplied. And he did fill the earth. But he didn't multiply the image and likeness of God. He multiplied sin. And sin spread everywhere. And death and disease and hatred and war. And we see how it spread all over. Sin and darkness invaded this world. We were once part of this kingdom of darkness. We were once slave to our flesh, to our sinful desires. We were once part of this kingdom of darkness, but through sin we became enemies of God. But despite that, God never stopped loving us. He never stopped loving us. And we read in Romans 5 verse 8, but God demonstrated His own love towards us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, having been justified by His blood, shall we be saved from wrath through Him? For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through His death, the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, shall be saved through his life. We once were lost, but then we were found. We were lost once, like that sheep that went astray, like that coin. But we were found. I was found. I was found by His grace, and through faith I was saved. I was redeemed. And I moved from this kingdom of darkness and the sinful nature that controlled me into the kingdom of light, and I'm following the Spirit. And I've been set free. We all were there once. But by His grace, through faith, we were born again. We became a new creation in Christ, and we're no longer led by the flesh, by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. And through the work of the Holy Spirit in us, this is this process of sanctification. This is this process of changing to become more like Him, to become more like Jesus. And slowly but surely, incrementally, as we follow Jesus, as we surrender to Him more, He changes us. He changes us to become more like Him. And the image and likeness of God is restored in us. Then God gave us this commission that we must go and make disciples of all nations, that we must go, now that we have embraced who He is, now that we have become a new creation, now that we are being changed into the likeness and the image of God, in the likeness and image of Christ, He says, go and make disciples. Go fill the earth. Go multiply. Like I originally intended it to be. This image, this likeness, this relationship, I want you to multiply it. Make disciples. What is a disciple? A disciple is those who follow His teaching and His example and the voice of the Lord. Those who become more like Him. More like, that's why we call those who follow Jesus Christians. They become like Christ. I want to get back to the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin. Jesus came into a sinful world, kingdom of darkness, a world that was distorted, destroyed from its original purpose. Came because He loved man so much. He came into this world to seek that what was lost. He came to seek that what was lost. That what was lost was the image and the likeness of God in man. It was not seen anymore. The only thing that it was sin and religion. That's all it was. It was dead. So Jesus came to seek what was lost. He came to seek what man lost. And He came to those who lost it. He came to us. Came to find us who were lost. We once were lost too, but He found us, did He not? He found us. And now that we're part of this new kingdom, the question is, how does this new kingdom, we know this kingdom of darkness, we were born into it, we were born sinners, and we were controlled by our sinful nature, and we followed the desires of our flesh, and then Jesus found us, and we got saved, and we were born again into this new kingdom that is so different to this old one. And the question is, how does it work? And that's what Jesus came to do when He started to teach. He taught the kingdom of God. How does this work? How do we fit into it? What drives this kingdom? What makes it tick? What is its purpose? And what is our part in it? Luke 15, verse 4-8. Jesus starts to talk about an aspect of the kingdom of God. And He says, What man of you? Who of you? We have 100 sheep. If one of it gets lost, if you lose one of them, who of you will not leave the 99 and go after that one. Search for it. Search for it until you find it. What man amongst us, or what woman among you will not, if she has 10 silver coins and if she loses one of those coins, will not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully for it until she finds it? Who of you will not search for that what you have lost? Don't you not understand that that's what I'm doing? I'm searching for what I have lost. I don't know if you have ever lost something. I have. I mean it's like car keys. You've ever lost your car keys? Is there anybody that's never lost your car keys? Anybody? And there we go, John. John has never lost his car keys. You are a saint, John, but we know that already. Have you ever lost your car keys? You know, and the most ironic thing is, it's like you're planning to go somewhere with the entire family, right? You've done all the effort to get them ready for this trip. And finally, everybody is ready. And just before you leave, where's the keys? And you can't find it. You know it's somewhere. You know it's in the house. You know it's in the house, but you don't know where. Because otherwise you would have left already. So it is lost. So you start to search. You start to look everywhere. Where is this keys? I mean, it's small, it's insignificant, it's not as big as the car, nor the journey, or anything, but it is important. You can't go anywhere without it. So you start to search for these keys. And you know what you do? You search until you find it, don't you? So what man of you who loses his car keys will not search for it until he finds it? And you know that urgency in which you're looking for it. Because everybody is ready. You want to go. But you can't, because you've lost something. So you search for it. I've realized, you know, sometimes we search for it and the whole family is ready and everybody wants to go and you can't find the key, so you are searching for it. But the rest of the family, they're sitting back and they're watching you. Have that ever happened to you? They're like watching you looking for the keys. How does that make you feel? I mean, we all want to go on this journey, don't we? We all want to go to this destination. Dad's searching for the keys, and the rest of us, well, you know, we're waiting for Dad to find the key. How does Dad feel about that? Hey, don't look to me like that. You know how he feels. He says, come on, guys, you must help me here. Help me find the keys. Have you ever lost something that was of real value to you? You know what? I remember one day we were on this tour around the country with people to pray for the country, and one day we were swimming at a swimming pool. This group of young students, myself, my wife, and we were going around the outside borders of the country praying for this nation, and every seventh day we had a rest day. And we were resting that day, and we were all at a public swimming pool, a massive public swimming pool, and we were swimming in the swimming pool. And my wife was swimming with her engagement ring. And as she was swimming and she got out of the pool, she noticed that the diamond in the ring had fallen out. Now this, you know, we were blessed by my mother, who had nice diamonds. So I must confess, thank you, Mom. I didn't pay for the diamond. My mother did. It was a rock. It wasn't a diamond. It was no hole. It was groot. I only paid, I think, I don't even know if I paid for the platinum, but anyway, my mom gave this big diamond. My wife liked it, you know, it was big and shiny. Anyway, she got out of the pool and it was gone. This is a public pool. So it was of great value to my wife and to myself, and so we started to search for it. You know, it was great. I shared it with my friends that was with us, the team. I said, guys, my wife just lost a diamond. Please, will you help us find it? You know what? Everybody jumped in the pool. What's the chance of finding that diamond? But anyway, everybody jumped into the pool. You know how I felt when everybody jumped in to help? I felt completely different to when I'm at home and nobody wants to help. I felt different. I felt different. It was a great joy to see, so people actually care. They actually care. No jokes aside, they actually care about us, quite frankly. I mean, they were having a ball on their own. I mean, it's not fun looking for a diamond in a public pool. But they all helped us. Do you think we ever found that diamond? What does it matter to you anyway? It's not like it's something you lost. I mean, really? I mean, do you really care whether we found it or not? Interesting, eh? It'd be nice to know how the story ended, but do you really care? Why should you care? Well, let me ask you this question. What if it was your wife's diamond? How would you feel about that? And this is my wife's diamond. But what if it was your wife's diamond? Would you care? Would you care differently? Now we're all curious to know how the story ended, but if it was your wife's diamond, you would care a bit differently. Come on, the only reason you would really care about Lisa's diamond, even though it has nothing to do with you, the only reason you would actually care is if you actually care about her. I mean, the only reason, let's think about it. I mean, the only reason you would really care whether she really got it back or not is if you love her. But if you don't know her, I mean, I can tell you a story of somebody in Japan that lost a ring, and, you know, shame. But you might feel differently, and the only reason you might feel different because of this story is because you know Lisa. And the only reason you might really actually care, it's because you love her and you care about her. So you care about her concerns and her feelings. So you would actually, to some degree, care because you care about her. I believe Jesus is saying to us this morning, I have lost something. Will you help me find it? You know, that team, we found that diamond that day. In a very unexpected way. I mean, everybody was diving in and trying to find it underwater. I mean, it's a diamond. It's a real diamond, so it kind of is pure. You can't see the thing underwater. But we were all swimming underwater and trying to see it, trying to feel with our hands if we can't possibly. And this was a big public pool. This is like, you know, the one in Zwelihle, Olympic size. It was a big pool. But it was found in a very unexpected way. Someone stepped on it and felt something. And checked what it was, and it was the diamond. Somebody of the team. You know, that person who found that diamond will never forget it. And neither will we. As a matter of fact, the team was so excited because we found this diamond. Everybody was excited. Everybody that was part of the search was so excited about finding. The rest of the people swimming, they had no idea what was going on and quite frankly didn't care. But for those of us that searched together, you know what? There was a great joy. There was a greater joy of the news of finding it than there is here today. You know why? Because you were not part of the search. You were not there that day. So I'm not offended that you're not as excited as they were. They were there. They were part of the search. And when the diamond was found, it was not just the person that found it that had great joy. It was not just Lisa that had great joy. We all had great joy because we were all searching for it. We were searching for it together. And when we found it, we shared in that joy and that great glory of finding what was impossible, a diamond in a public swimming pool. Isn't that what Jesus trying to tell us? Who of you who have lost something will not stop everything and search for it until you find it? Luke 15, verse 17 says, I say to you, 7 and 10 says, I say to you likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who needs no repentance. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Jesus is asking us this morning to help him to find something that was lost. It's not you that lost it, I know. I didn't lose that either. But I'm not joining this search because I've lost something. I'm joining the search because God has lost something. And okay, we can philosophize about that, but that's the point Jesus is trying to make. I've come to seek and save the lost. I didn't come for the righteous. I've come for the sinners. And I've given you the commission to help me. Not that I need help, but I want you to share in the joy of finding it. And I know it's not yours. I know it's not your mother. I know it's not your father or your son or your daughter. I know they have nothing with to you. It's just strangers out there. It's just more people in this town. it's just sinners and tax collectors. It's bad people. I know that. But I love them. And I want them. I want them found. I want them saved. I want them back in my kingdom. And I need people to help me. Not because I need. God doesn't need anything. But hey, the only reason you're going to join this search is not because you need it. It's because you love the one who's searching. The only reason you jumped into that pool searching for the impossible is because you love Lisa. Only reason we're going to go out there and seek and invite. It's not because we have to. No, you don't have to do that. God's not going to love you less if you don't. The only reason you're going to do it is because you love the one who's searching. Go and make disciples. Not because you have to. Because that's how the kingdom works. That is what makes the kingdom ticks. That is what it's all about. It's getting the lost saved, people. So this morning, the invitation is, there's a sheep out there that's lost. There's a coin that's meant to be here that's not. Will you join Jesus in finding it? Not because He needs our help, but because He wants us to share in the joy of finding it. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank You that when we were still sinners and enemies, You did not give up on us. When we were lost, You didn't just got someone else in our place. You didn't just think of us as just another one in 7 billion. You didn't think, you know what? It's not worth the effort. No, God, You didn't give up on us. And You found us wherever we were, Lord, in that place of desperation, of pride, of selfishness. Whatever it was, Lord, You found us wherever we were. You found us where we were at, Lord. And You saved us. You saved us, Lord. It wasn't even our own doing. It was Your grace, Lord. We didn't deserve it, but You never stopped loving us. You never stopped searching for us. You never stopped wooing us. You never stopped until the day we said, yes, Lord, I give You my life. I thank You for saving me. I realize now that you love me. I realize now that You've given everything for me so that I can be saved, Lord. I want to give You my life. God, I want to thank You that You did not give up on me. And I want to thank You, God, that You did not give up on anyone here today. Lord, I want to thank You that You are still not giving up on those outside. And that You are still searching. Lord, You said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And we must ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. Lord, this morning we are asking You to send us. Here I am, Lord. Send me. I will help You find what You are looking for. I will go find the sinners. Oh, they are so hard to find, Lord. Are they not? They're everywhere. Oh, Lord, I'll try and help You to find the broken and the disillusioned. And be honest, it's not hard to find them. It's not such a big search, really. It's just whether we care enough. It's not not even caring about them, is whether we care about Him. Or are we compromised to such an extent that we only care about ourselves? Father, forgive us for loving the world more than Your kingdom. And the things in the world we pursue more than the things that You pursue in this world. Lord, we want to return to You for what it's meant to be. We together advancing Your kingdom so that we can share together in the glory and the joy of seeing it finished. So Lord, this morning I will respond to Your word, Lord, and say, yes, Lord, I will help You find. I will go, Lord. I will be a laborer, Lord, in this harvest. And I will be there bringing that in with You so that I might share this with You, not for any other reason, but because I love You. And I can see it's a concern to You. I can see it in Your word. I can see it in Your eyes. I see it in Your life, Lord. That is why You came, and that is what You're still doing. You are searching, You are seeking the lost. Lord, I will get off from the couch as You look for them, and I will be part of the search. I want to give You an opportunity this morning, just as You are seated, just in Your own heart, in Your own words, just to respond to God's word. Just where You're at. I'm going to give You some time. Maybe the band can go up so long. Father, thank You that You give us the opportunity and the privilege to be co-laborers, co-workers with You. Thank You, God, that You even enable us through Your Spirit to be witnesses. That You've given us gifts through Your Spirit to empower us to be witnesses. You've given us everything that we need to work with You in this great purpose. To finish the work so that together we can go to heaven. Help us to find the last ones that are still needed before we can leave, so that we might be with You forever. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you enjoyed this moment with us. For more information, visit shofaronline.org.